You can listen to The Professional Left wherever you get your podcasts, on Netroots Radio, or at our website, proleftpod.com, where you can also contribute to this podcast. There's a PayPal button at our website, or you can mail us a letter and or contribution at P.O. Box 9133, Springfield, Illinois, 62791.
This is the podcast for January 21st, 2022. It's not safe for work.
Recorded live from the Cornfield Resistance, where, by an odd coincidence, Filibuster Carve-Out is also the name of a stripper at the Deja Vu Gentlemen's Club. It's the Professional Left with Driftglass and Blue Gal.
Was she there on amateur night?
Yeah, she wasn't one of the good strippers.
She wasn't a Saturday night stripper. No.
She brought her politics with her, and that always ruins the stripping experience to the truckers and the people who show up at, leave your politics outside. I don't want the politics. See tits. So, you know. Just wrecked it for everyone.
Oh, but, man.
You know, you're free to choose your own stripper name, and she chose Filibuster Carve-Out.
I guess so.
Which is a fine name.
I know I was talking to you last night as you were falling asleep about encountering random porn on Twitter. Just like scrolling along, and it's like, oh.
Hey, now. There's there's a thing you don't see every day.
Yeah. So, you know, I don't report those unless they're violent and, you know.
And the lighting is bad.
If they're doxing somebody, then I.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
You know, they have to be doing something more than showing me nudity than to report somebody. But I try to mute and block and please go elsewhere with that.
You know, and my standard is I'm going to need a lot more story from you.
Yeah.
A lot of emotional attachment to this, you know.
The pizza delivery guy is overdone. So, yeah. We got to come up with something newer than that.
What's his origin story? Where's he from? how did he end up delivering pizzas at this late in life with those clothes? You know, who knows?
Well, I want to welcome everybody to Liberal Hate Radio. Yes.
That's us.
That's us.
Except it's not radio. And
it's not hate. I mean, there are people we don't. Appreciate
we very,
and
very
we'll
much dislike
that.
Them. Yes, but yeah, this is, and you know, we're the media. This is us.
We're the media. We're trying very hard to be the change, right?
Unlike
Queen Kirsten Cinema.
Yeah, we don't want to
really
see your
has
manager.
A royalty fetish thing going on. Well, both of them, Kirsten Cinema and Mansion. Anyway,
what, but, did something let me, happen with them?
Let's start with that.
Did something happen with them the other day, last night?
I so appreciated that the trending topic on Twitter, and I know I've mentioned Twitter three times already, and that's not the entire world, and I get that. But I was grateful that the trending topic on Twitter was Republicans block voting rights.
Right. Right.
Because that's the story.
Yes.
And two traitorous, I don't know what their problem is, but they clearly have a royalty complex. Two Democratic, so-called Democratic senators, Senator Manchin and Sinema, joined with every Republican senator, every single one.
Yes.
To kill a single one-time filibuster change for voting rights legislation. It would go back to the way it was after they voted on this particular, these two bills. That would be it.
Mm-hmm.
They were given ample time to debate.
An hour per senator.
Per senator, right.
Twice. 2 hours
months.
Per senator.
Yeah, it's going to take months.
200 hours total of debate would be allocated.
On the floor.
Yep. Yep.
And you said many never Trump talking points died with it.
Yes. Well, they never die. I mean.
Well, that's what I said on Twitter. I said that Driftglass will be writing about zombie never Trump talking points next week because they never die. Yes.
Well, and what I have learned, and at great personal cost to myself, which you will hear later in this podcast, is that really the only thing that the people who left the GOP for the wilderness of the center and we have no political home and all we have are regular jobs at MSNBC and book contracts and we live a terrible nomadic life is they really kept their hatred of the left intact.
Mm-hmm.
They can't, that's wired so deep into their souls they can't give it up. So every suggestion from them about how to improve politics always is, here's how Democrats have failed me today.
Right, right.
And so up until last night, it was, well, Democrats, the left doesn't seem to understand this, not just Sinema and Manchin. know, there are a whole bunch of other, you know, Democratic senators who just don't want the spotlight, but they would never vote to, you know, for a filibuster carve out.
And the filibuster, and every one of them did.
And they all did. Oh, so it is just those two fuckers. I mean, I understand the other ones are more centristy and have more reservations, but.
Well, and maybe they knew it wasn't going to pass anyway when that Manchin and Sinema were going to vote against it, so they covered their asses. I don't know.
Everyone is on record.
Yes,
everyone's on record. The only Democrats who voted against a very sensible little carve out for one issue are those two assholes. Then there was the talking point that, you know, Democrats don't even seem to understand that if they just reached out more, there are there maybe, I don't know, somewhere between zero and 11 reasonable. There's this subterranean underground reasonable Republican club that only I know about. And if we just gave them the chance to meet somewhere, nope, none of them, zero. None of them signed up for this. Not Mitt Romney, not one of them, not a single, not Gail Collins, not a single fucking Republican went along
not
with
Gail
this.
Not Gail Collins, Susan Collins.
Susan Collins, I'm sorry. Yeah. My apologies to the entire Collins clan, including Joan Collins, who was pretty good in, you know, Star Trek, City on the Edge of Forever, but the rest of her career, I have, you know, problems with. Anyway, moving on.
Right.
All of these, you know, but if they just had a little bill, a little tiny bill, this is another one that won't die because Joe Manchin already tried that. Mm-hmm. It was like, here, Joe, here's a crayon and a piece of paper. Write whatever fucking bill you want and take it to your Republican friends and let's see what happens. And he did. And they all told him to fuck off. Mm-hmm. So there is no combination of words or legislative actions or angles of light or aromatherapy candles that they can put together that will make the dynamic change. And this will not change Never Trumpers at all, because it's always got to be the fault of the left. Always. They accept the fact that their Republican Party is, you know, 93% stone cold, crazy, racist fucks. Mm-hmm. And they don't want to talk about how they got there because they did this.
I don't know what Rush Limbaugh says.
Yeah, who knows?
Right.
He was an entertainer. Sure, he was a big racist asshole, but he was so entertaining. You know, you didn't understand that. You know, Dan Bongino is not entertaining, but Rush Limbaugh, you got to understand, you see? Got to understand. Rush Limbaugh was so entertaining. And it's this, oh, I know what part of Milwaukee you're from. Just by the whine in your voice every time anyone gets close to pinning some of the blame of the shit on you. So it's always got to be the left that's at fault. Republicans have no free will at all.
Right.
They have no authorship of their own actions. It's always got to be Democrats who are fucking things up. And it's always got to be the left who need to move further in some direction. And every time they try, this is exactly what happened during the Obama administration. We pull back a stump because Mitch McConnell's like, fuck you. I'm giving you nothing. What about giving you nothing? Don't you understand?
Yeah.
I'm here to fuck you up and piss on your corpse. And yeah, but if you just do a little compromise, no, some more magazine, Mitt Romney. No. No, we know this not. So those talking points should all be dead. But of course, they're not.
Well, Drift Class, we need more senators.
We do. That's the
issue is going to be for the Senate. I'm going to be that 52nd vote, the 51st vote.
I'm going to be
the one to overthrow this tyranny.
We said this before. We need a Democrat to run to run as Scott Brown.
Right, right. I'll be the vote.
I'll be the vote that gets Manchin off of your back.
Right. And it appears, and I watched the interview. Elizabeth Warren was on Colbert this week. Again, a Democrat on television in an audience that is not political junkies. You know, it's people that want to be entertained, getting information from a progressive in the Senate, hearing from her. And I really appreciate that. But Colbert took her to task, and it was in good fun, but the element of seriousness, and he said what needed to be said to her. Mm-hmm. And I know he kind of set her off, but I'm sorry, the Senate deserves this. He said the Senate is the most undemocratic institution in Washington, possibly with the exception of the courts.
Yeah.
Which is, and the reason the courts are so undemocratic is because of the Senate.
Right. It is the headwater of all Democrats.
If you guys can't do it, and he didn't mean Democrats. I mean, if the Senate cannot pass voting rights, cannot show that they care about voters, what is their purpose? Why, you know, do they deserve to exist? And I know you're going to go off on a tangent of stop wishing for unicorns, Blue Gown.
Well,
no, get that.
I had that tangent last night. I have a different tangent I'm going to go off on in
okay.
a minute.
Okay. All right. But I just think that it's important to, and I'm not speaking to, you're going to say to whom.
Right.
I'm speaking to our audience.
Right.
To recognize that this is about democracy, and this institution, the U.S. Senate, isn't democratic. If you have a Senate race in your state this year for 2022, and we do, we're pretty sure Senator Duckworth's going to get reelected.
Yeah.
I wouldn't ask you to send her $5. I think she's okay.
Yeah.
But seriously, I think it is okay, and I probably will write a letter to Senator Duckworth and say your institution is broken.
Yes. And she'll write a letter back saying you're right.
You're right. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
No, talk to me about the tone cop, Strifglass.
Well, my critique of that what you just said is not going to be, yeah, but it'll never happen. Mm-hmm. I mean, it won't. The Senate will never
abolishing the Senate won't it will never
the
happen,
Senate will
right.
never abolish itself, and we're never going to have a constitutional convention. But the truth of the matter is, the Senate represents exactly what the Republican Party wants.
Yeah.
It is the Senate is delivering for Republicans.
Mm-hmm.
Republicans want to drown government in a bathtub. The government, they want to make liberals cry. They don't have an agenda. They don't give a shit about governing at all. And if you're the anti-government party, if you're the stop government at all costs party, if you're mm-hmm. the salt, sugar the gas tank and blow up the car party, mm-hmm. the Senate is the perfect place for you.
Yeah, right.
Because you don't have to extend any effort at all. Just raise your finger in your office and stop everything. And all you have to do is maintain a 41 vote minority
mm-hmm.
to do that. Mm-hmm. And there are enough Republicans in this country who all came out and voted for Donald Trump twice, and who all came out and voted in record numbers in 2020, who are perfectly comfortable with the idea of shredding the Constitution and giving up democracy just to make you and me cry.
Mm-hmm.
And they really are comfortable. They're sick and tired of democracy. They're sick and tired of being asked to care for people who
right.
aren't like them.
Right.
To do things for the future. You know, who will think of the children? Fuck the children. That's what 80 million Americans in this country absolutely believe, except for their kids. Their kids are special.
Their kids and grandkids, and also their government pensions.
Right. Those are all
Social
those are all,
Security.
And
yeah.
don't worry, that you're the strong man in the White House will protect all of those things.
The white
for you,
man,
white America. Yeah.
Right. The white Republican.
But everyone else.
Yeah.
But they are not happy unless everyone else is miserable. And the Senate is the perfect instrument for absolutely crushing the hopes and dreams of anyone who cares about this country. And so it's doing the job. It's you know, this is, I've said this before, sort of a broadly of the Republican Party. And I just, this is why we don't get asked to talk to Never Trumpers with microphones in front of us.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Your party is doing exactly what you designed it to do.
Yeah.
You designed it to destroy the government. It's doing that. You designed your base to not listen to anyone who tells them anything they don't want to hear. They're not doing that. So what are you complaining about? This is
And if
what-
you need proof of that, Fox News had Jen Psaki on this morning, and it was straight news people.
Mm-hmm.
People who were told to be straight news people interviewing her. And you can argue with whether she should even go on Fox, and I'm happy to have that argument. But the straight news people, Bill Hemmer and whoever the other person was, tried to keep it as a straight news interview.
Yeah.
And their audience flipped out on social media. Facebook and Twitter and Getter and every place else was like, how dare you lob softballs mm-hmm. at that B word, you know, just that was the attitude. We want to hear from Fox what we want to hear, period. And that's where they are. That's the party. That's the party. The party is there to feed them what they want to hear.
Yeah. And this does lead into the sudden outbreak of tone coppery.
Uh-huh.
And I want to read you a quick paragraph from Brother Charlie Pierce,
oh.
who wrote in a magazine called Esquire. You might have heard of it.
I have.
And I'm reading from this not just because he mentions me by name.
Oh, he didn't link you, though. I had to link you in comments.
I know. Maybe it's new Esquire policy that we don't link to lowly bloggers.
I think Charlie can link to anybody he wants.
Yeah, Charlie can do whatever he wants. Because Charlie's old. He's an old man. A very old man.
Yeah, so are you.
He can barely remember what Adlai Stevenson had for breakfast on November 4th. 1952. Exactly. Yeah. Charlie Pierce is that fucking encyclopedia. And he makes me angry because he's not just a political encyclopedia. He's a sports encyclopedia. He's a trivia encyclopedia.
He's a writer.
He's one of those people that he's a great writer.
Yeah.
It just bothers me immensely that someone out there is so much more talented than I am. I hate it when that happens.
You're two peas in a pod.
Yeah. I know.
Anyway,
and one day I'll meet him in a
bun. Except for the sports stuff. Yeah.
Well, and here's why there was such tone copying. And this leads directly into it. He wrote an article this week called, the title of which is "The Elite Political Press is Incapable of Looking the Monster in the Eye."
Yeah.
And in the early days of the Shebeen, we used to have a semi-regular weekly feature called "What Are the Gobshites Saying These Days?" It was a survey of the state of our national dialogue. The management abandoned it because, frankly, I didn't want to watch the damn Sunday shows anymore. And because other people, most notably the formidable Driftglass, we're doing it better. But last week, a disturbing pattern emerged among various gobshites that does not bode well for the crisis that presently exists in our Democratic Republic. Call it the Church of the Savvy. Call it the both sides conundrum. And here's the problem.
Mm-hmm.
The political press, across the board with a very few exceptions, cannot accept what's happening right in front of them.
Right.
It destroys all of their shibboleths. It destroys all of their mythology. It destroys all of their very special sense of "we know what's going on." It destroys their most sacred lie, which is that the lie of both sides do it.
Mm-hmm.
And so they cannot, on a personal, professional, psychological, and emotional level, accept the truth that is staring them in the face, that the Republican Party is a monster.
Mm-hmm.
And it's a monster because the base are terrible, the elected representatives are terrible, the leaders are terrible, they're all terrible. They're all fucking lunatics, and they're all linking arms and marching us right the fuck off the edge of a cliff.
Mm-hmm.
And because they cannot accept that that's true, they freak out when anyone talks about it.
Mm-hmm.
And so the problem is not the Republican Party is, in fact, a hell beast of their own making, that the mainstream political press just kept ignoring until it came for their house and their family and their kids. And suddenly, oh my God, but now Trump's gone, so it's okay. Because
that's my prediction, by the way, is it's going to end up being Watergate summer, and the political press is going to blame Trump and continue to believe that Kevin McCarthy is a legitimate legislator.
Right.
And it's going to be Trumpism, Trumpism, Trumpism. And Republicans are now doing this, and we're going to have Iowa caucuses with Republicans. Let's watch, and not at all acknowledging Trump as he's not going to be leader of the party much longer. I'm going to predict that.
But he is a manifestation of the party.
Exactly.
And like any other lethal virus, that manifestation is mutating.
It's
attempting to change its form to become more infectious and more deadly.
Mm-hmm.
And does that by being a little smart and being a little smarter. And the problem is that because the mainstream press lives in terror of anyone talking about the truth that they are lying to you about all day, every day, anyone who talks honestly about the real problem facing this country that's the only thing they can do. They can't enforce Republicans. They can't force Republicans to be sane because they're not, or stop being bigots because they're not. They can't make Republicans behave like civilized human beings. What they can do is force other people not to talk about it.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what tone cops do. The tone police hated Joe Biden's speech. They hated it because Joe Biden came out and
Press conference?
No, I mean the speech last week.
Oh, the speech last week, yeah.
About voting rights, about Bull Connor, about the Confederacy, about denying people their voting rights. They fucking hated it. Right across the board, the problem wasn't that the Republican Party is a monster. The problem was that Joe Biden is using very undelicate, very impolite, very rude language to talk about the monster the Republican Party has become.
Well, and our faces dropped off when David Gregory said the word building bridges and how, you know, Joe Biden's speech wasn't building bridges.
That doesn't sound like bridge building. No, because we're not talking about bridge building, asshole. We're talking about which side of the Edmund Pettus Bridge are you on? And David Gregory wants to sit right in the middle of it, you know, smack in the center. And Peggy Noonan's headline was Biden's Georgia speech is a breaking point. And then came David Brooks, who was on Twitter going, Democrats, you might not like this column from Peggy Noonan, but there's a lot to learn from it. And then he popped up on the NewsHour, in which I don't think rhetoric comparing Republicans to Bill Connor or Jefferson Davis is helpful. It's not 1961 anymore. And I even think that the trope that he has, well, Georgia is Jim Crow too, is also not helpful. Now, Jonathan Capehart, who blocks me on Twitter, by the way, because 10 years ago, I told him both sides do it journalism was lazy bullshit. Mm-hmm. And he's a very thin-skinned guy. And he blocked me immediately. But he did come back, for bless his heart, and say, David, we're not going to be able to polite our way out of this problem. Mm-hmm. So bless his heart. Yeah, and then there was Mona Charon, who had the same thing to say. And there was David French, Biden's divisive speech. And then came David fucking Gregory on CNN, where he has fallen from his perch on Meet the Press, saying exactly what Bluegill already said. You know,
not building bridges.
Not building bridges. And because they can't talk about the truth, because the truth would destroy them.
Well, speaking of the press, and particularly the White House press.
Yeah.
Joe Biden had the longest press conference in the history of press conferences this week.
I heard about it.
Yeah. Uh-huh. All the right people hated it, Driftglass.
Yes, they did. And man,
I have to, you know, my career is in the Washington Press Corps, and I want to be called on by the President of the United States. And what? I have to sit there for 2 hours? Oh my God.
Yeah. It really was just... The people who are committed to my career is based on shitting on Democrats.
Right.
Even a whole bunch of our allies, our brand new allies, we're just like, oh, my God, I can't believe, you know, blah, 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 because they can never find anything nice to say. But, yeah, it was a – well, go ahead. It was a fine press conference.
It was a fine press conference. I loved how the presser was long, but many of the answers were short.
Yeah.
And there are some that I would just play on a loop all day long. One was, you know, your old friend, Driftglass, Manny Peoples.
Love that guy. I haven't heard from him in months, but hope he's doing okay.
Manny Peoples. Why do many peoples have a grave concern about you being senile?
Yeah.
Said the Newsmax guy who's been charged with harassment in previous jobs he's had.
Sure. Because, of course, he had.
And Biden just said, I have no idea why anyone thinks that. You know, I have no idea was his answer.
Next question. Yeah.
One of our favorites asked, is Kamala Harris, she basically asked, is Kamala Harris a person?
Is she a person? Is she three-fifths of a person or a whole person? Does she exist in the world?
Is she? Yeah. Do you have confidence in her? Is she going to be your running mate in 2024 if you run? And he said, yes and yes. Mm-hmm. Next question. And then his whole riff on what are Republicans for? What are they in favor of? I just want to put that on a loop.
I know.
Really, really good.
If you're of a mind that, you know, the Democratic Party or Joe Biden needs to pivot or reset or whatever I hate all of those words. But yeah, the question on the ballot from now on has to be, what are the Republicans for? What are they going to do? What are they if you give them power, what will they do with it?
Well, and we know what they do. They vote no, and then they go home to their districts and brag about the bridge that the Democrats voted for and put their political careers on the line for and wrote and debated and got passed. And you voted no and called it socialism. And then you go home and say, I want to thank all of our great people on the Republican side for bringing this bridge to fruition.
Yeah, it happens here. I mean, it happened here. Yeah. It happened here with Barack Obama.
Oh, yeah.
With the stimulus package.
Yeah.
Republicans voted against it, just boom, 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 right down the line. And then you see, you know, like Rodney
the
Davis, an asshole
check,
like that.
Right.
But look what I brought to the district. I'm such a fucking hero. And and I heard at least one person on our side, I believe it was Cliff Schechter, actually, on the social media today saying this is a problem with Democratic messaging, you know, letting Republicans get away with. I said, do we have a Fox News?
Yeah.
Or do we have a cable network that's in half the homes in America? Do we have a massive media machine? I would love to, but unless I go door to door in Iowa and tell people this, there is no means by which to deliver the message that Republicans are lying to you. Now, it's happening on a local level because that's where all the bragging is going on.
Right.
But
right.
I don't
well,
know why.
Well, and that's why it's really important to have the strongest possible congressional candidates there to call them out now. And I hope the ground game is there in Iowa to run against that. That Iowa, she's in the first congressional district. Mm-hmm. Blonde woman who said it was socialism and Marxism to have a BIB bill. Mm-hmm. You know, the infrastructure bill was socialism.
Mm-hmm.
And then she bragged about it.
Yeah.
And, you know, getting destroyed on Twitter isn't enough. That's not the real world. So hopefully the late night shows will be making massive fun of her and other places where. You can't go on The Masked Singer and call a Republican congressman a liar. That's unfortunate.
No, it's just sad.
Yeah.
You
but maybe we can
church,
run
though.
Some ads during The Masked Singer about what a liar she is. That'd be good.
Well, I think it should be in like the Sunday supplement for your church. You know, here's, here's the sermon. Here's the lesson.
No,
here's the hymns.
No,
by the way, this bitch over here is lying about the stuff that she.
Americans United for the Separation of Church and State says no.
Well, doesn't the Bible have something to say about liars and hypocrites, Blue Gal? I'm just saying.
There's already so much of that going on the other side. I'm going to talk about that later. The whole religious thing and adoption is just, don't get me. You will get me started later in the show. Okay.
I will. But, you were right. Biden's political instincts are very good.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, yeah, they are. And I think, don't underestimate Biden's political instincts is my point. That. Mm-hmm. He knows that keeping the base with him, because he lived through 2010.
Yeah.
And so keeping the base with you is really important.
Yeah.
And we're the ones who are going to chop wood and carry water in 2022 and hopefully get 50% plus one in the House.
That's all,
and
that's all
increase
I'm
our majority in the Senate.
That's all I'm asking, Lord. All I'm asking.
50% plus one. All right. Now, this goes back. This is kind of a tangent to your argument about tone policing.
Uh-huh.
Because you've already talked about that, and now you're going to talk about centrism?
Well, a little bit, because the advice that I do listen to, advice from our allies, and their advice is exactly the opposite of that. That Joe Biden should be about the business of punching the base and yelling at the base and distancing himself from the base.
You talked about that last week quite a bit. Yeah.
Well, and this week I learned that we on the left are stupid for worrying so much about voting rights. didn't realize that.
Well, you know, Driftglass, as the minority leader of the Senate said, there are African-American voters and then there are American voters.
That's right. That's right. So let's
and
be very clear.
It's clear that our allies in the Never Trump movement are primarily concerned with American voters.
The American voters. Well, except
who are not black in any way.
Except that the very, very, very white Josh Barrow, 3 weeks after ending his podcast, which was called Left, Right, and Center. Can you guess what kind of podcast that was? Showed up on the Bulwark, of all places, explaining that he was pretty sure the black Democratic voters don't care all that much about Republicans trying to suppress their vote. He's pretty sure about that. You know,
my
they
mouth
care about
is us. Hanging open.
He's pretty sure about that. They care, but not that much, you know. And you know what? The reason you and I have been duped into thinking that Republican efforts to suppress the vote are very bad is because, and now I'm quoting him, the national conversation about voting rights is, quote, dominated by certain, quote, prestige national outlets, the New York Times and NPR, as well as web-first outlets like Vox, which are all controlled by, and I'm not kidding, people who voted for Elizabeth Warren. That's who controls our media, honey.
Fuck him.
All of these, exactly. All of these far left organizations like the New York Times and NPR, which are all controlled by people who voted for
Elizabeth Warren, like David Brooks.
Yeah. Well, and you know.
And the Sulzberger family voted for Warren. Is that what they think?
Ross Douthat was out there knocking doors for Elizabeth. Brett Stevens, you know, was Warren or bust for a while there,
yeah,
you know?
Sure.
And then he jumped over to Ted Cruz for some reason. And of course, because Charlie Sykes, who runs the Bulwark, is Charlie Sykes, he jumped on this shit. And I'm quoting again. But you know, as you point out, that, you know, having this national conversation, you know, by people for who, you know, supported Elizabeth Warren does explain where we're at. Because it really does badly mislead you about where, wait for it, normal people, the average voter, and what they think about and what they believe and what they care about.
Fuck him.
Yeah. Now, remember, this is a guy who lost his entire political party because he swears that for decades he had no fucking idea what the average Republican voter thought about or cared about or valued in any way. So why the fuck we think your opinion about what the average voter wants and who the hell is an average voter anyway is weird.
I have a video from CNN from 2015 interviewing Trump voters.
You do?
The summer of 2015, interviewing Trump voters about what they want and what they believe. And you know what they said? Donald Trump is saying what I'm thinking.
When it
comes to Mexicans or rapists,
he tells the
Donald
truth.
Donald Trump is telling the truth and saying what I'm thinking.
Mm-hmm.
Where was Charlie Sykes at that point?
The realization was dawning on him that something might be wrong with the Republican Party.
Uh-huh.
There might be it's a wisp in the breeze, a little like a little scent of smoke on the
Rupert
air that something
Murdoch
might be wrong.
Fed them the pudding. Donald Trump ate the pudding and spoke to them with pudding breath.
And they said,
that's pudding. I like that.
I love that pudding.
Yeah.
So that's, you know, that's the thing. You know, it's the we wackos on the left completely misunderstand what the average person wants.
Well, and so, I love the idea that every person in the, you know, diadem of power is a Warren voter.
Well, yeah. And they're controlling everything. They're pulling all the levers. They're calling all the shots, you know. Now, the next day, Matt Iglesias shows up on the Bulwark podcast.
Oh, my God.
Because he doesn't want to be out both sidesered by Josh Barrow. I swear to God, they're holding
a competition.
They're holding job interviews. Now, the thing about Matt Iglesias, which you may not know, which is the funniest thing about Matt, the second funniest thing about Matt Iglesias, he sounds exactly like actor and a recent arrestee, Ed Deason, from War Games. You know, the guy that talks like this and wants to talk about back doors. Yeah, that is exactly how Matt Iglesias sounds all the time.
Ah.
So while I'm listening to him talk, I'm laughing because he sounds like, you know, Mickey Mouse took a big hit of helium and then, you know, ate an Edmund Burke pill and holds forth on what the average person wants. And so he's up there and he wants to let you know that, you know, our experience of politics is very mediated by what's on cable and what's on Twitter and what's in the New York Times op-ed page. And his opinion is, and it's quite extreme, right? Now I'm quoting him. Mm-hmm. There's a lot of very left-wing Democrats counterbalanced by a lot of very crazy Republicans. I'm like, fuck, we're right back to 2015.
Mm-hmm.
We're right back to both sides do it. We're right back to exactly where the Never Trumpers are most comfortable because they don't like the fact their party is a shithole of bigots and imbeciles, but they really hate liberals. They really hate the Democrats. So they have to shit on them both. And the only place they can find to do that is this bullshit centrist, both sides do it, that was completely discredited by the 2015 election.
Mm-hmm.
Even Matthew Dowd had to burn his own Twitter archives and pretend he never said the shit he said because it was so embarrassing to be a both siderist after Trump showed exactly what the Republican Party was really about. But Mr. Iglesias went on to speculate that since today's Republican voter suppression efforts are, you know, no big deal, what Biden should have done is to sit down with like Rob Portman and tell him that the Democratic Party voting rights activists are stupid. You know, the base are stupid. Punch the base. We're a bunch of whiny babies that get all upset over widespread voter suppression. And then the subsequent bipartisan love fest that would follow the hippie punching would have allowed the Senate to pass some empty face-saving shit that would also allow Mitch McConnell to look like a statesman. And I'm just shaking my head going, who in their right fucking mind believes any of that?
Right.
And once again, Charlie Sykes jumped right in. But unfortunately, you have Republicans who have a vested interest in, you know, spreading the, you know, spreading the disinformation, the distrust. And then, of course, you have, you know, hyperpartisan, you know, folks on the Democrat side as well that want to engage in litigation even when you have bipartisan compromises. And I just sat there going, you know what? I've been through this already. I have
this
been
is just
this
a gigantic way. Masturbation festival.
It
to
is
see who
just
can go longest. It really is. It's so disgusting. It's white guys, invariably white guys, at a certain level of income and professionalism, quote unquote, jacking off to balance and, you know, the middle section. To try to preserve their tax cuts and privilege. That's it.
So you heard about Will Salatin, did you?
Shall I go ahead?
About a year ago on my little blog, I wrote a thing about Will Salatin, which I said that to me, he was like this. I know he's a human person, and I've been subliminally aware of where that he exists on and off. I know that he writes for Slate because Wikipedia tells me so. That's all I knew about him. He has something goofy or controversial every now and then that draws attention to the outside world. And so a year ago, he wrote a piece for Slate entitled "The Enemy Isn't Republicans, It's Liars."
Mm-hmm.
It's the case for a broad-based alliance against fabricators. And it was all about how we need to build a broad-based alliance across the political spectrum, across the aisle. We need to cross the aisle. And I sat there going, yeah, that exists. It's called the Democratic Party. The Democratic Party is the coalition you're looking for. No. It has to be a broader based coalition. And then he went on to say that, you know, we can't, the standard for legislation and for belief can't be the Bible or identity politics, blue gal. So, you know, he laid on the both sides, do it bullshit real thick. And then he pivoted over and said, you know, liberals need to take the National Review more seriously. And we need to read things like the Dispatch and the Bulwark. And I'm scratching my head going, what the fuck is this coming from? And then I found out a few days later when he was on the Bulwark. And a year ago, it was Will Salatin, we need a coalition for truth. And it was a long jerk off session, just like you said, about how, you know, we need a broad coalition, not just the Democratic Party, but the nine guys who are on the Bulwark as well. And that will make it a coalition. And we need to move towards the center because that's where the country is. That was a year ago. I thought, well, that paid off for Will. Good for him. You know, he buttered these guys up. Mm-hmm. He wants to get more national attention. And they put him on a podcast. That's great. And today, Charlie Sykes announced that they've hired Will Salatin. As a permanent member of their staff. Wow. And he's very excited to be part
they've
of the...
Got, they've got money to do it, don't they?
Yeah, they do. He's very excited to be part of the entire crew at the Bulwark who are trying to save democracy. And the title of that podcast 1 year later, as of yesterday, is The Coalition of the Sane. And once again, it's another centrist jerk-off session where the extremes on both sides are the problem. And we need to form a coalition of like-minded people in the middle, blue gal, who can solve America's problems. And you know what? If I had MSNBC money pouring in, and I had op-ed money pouring in, and I had book money pouring in, and I had millionaire contributors giving money to us, I'd be hiring people right and left too.
Mm-hmm.
And that's the advantage of having that kind of support. And that's why I swear to God, I believe Matt Iglesias was there on a job interview.
Mm-hmm.
I believe Josh Barrow was there on a job interview. Because they're looking to expand their staff, and they want to staff it up. And this is what you and I were saying in 2015,
careerism
16.
And money in this kind of white guy jerk, you know, circle jerk.
Well,
there just is.
if you let these people define the narrative, if you let them inside the perimeter without admitting that they were wrong, without actually joining the party, without actually saying, you know what, the people who are going to save us are the Democratic Party, and I'm down with that.
Yep.
You know, their flaws and their bugs, and I have problems with the way they smell, but the Democratic Party is where we need to be. If you let these fuckers inside the perimeter without checking their IDs and making them change who they believe themselves to be, without changing their attitude, they will seize control of the narrative, and suddenly it'll be a fucking centrist.
It'll be entirely Trump's fault.
Yeah, it's Trump's fault. And the extremes on the left are the people who need to be
right.
Joe Biden needs to do a bunch of sister soldier speeches, and that will save us.
Nope.
And 4 years later, that's exactly what's happened. These people have control of the narrative, and they're screaming that the problem with the Democratic Party is it's full of Democrats. And
it's time, and it may be time to write a letter to Joe Biden and thank him for being a goddamn Democrat.
You know,
and stick to your guns, and you don't need to kick the base. We're behind you.
Maybe that should be the title of this podcast.
What? Sister Soldier moment, please.
We'd like to thank Joe Biden for being a goddamn Democrat.
Goddamn Democrat. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. Right. I want to talk for a second about Ted Cruz. This is a story you may not have heard yet. He's gone full springtime for Hitler. And what I mean by that is he is suing and going to the Supreme Court, and I guess the Supreme Court has agreed to hear the case on campaign finance. He apparently under McCain-Feingold, remember that bill, Driftglass?
I do.
Back in the day when there was supposedly bipartisanship over campaign finance reform.
Sure.
And a relic of that bill is still in effect, where there is a limit to how much a campaign's candidate can be reimbursed after the election, and it is $250,000, $250,000. Ted Cruz lent his campaign $260,000, in order to challenge the limit. And the idea is that Ted Cruz wants it to be that a rich candidate can lend their campaign money before the election and then quote unquote fundraise after he wins, after he or she wins, fundraise to pay themselves back, which is kind of perfect for billionaire corporate donors.
Yeah.
Because that's an easy bet. It's you know, springtime for Hitler. Invest in me after I've succeeded. You know, it's kind of the opposite of springtime for Hitler, right? Invest in me before I fail. Invest in me before I've succeeded. But if I fail, you're out nothing.
Right.
It's also an open invitation to corruption, because you're paying then an elected representative money that he's in the hole for. You're paying his debts, just like the RNC is paying Donald Trump's debts.
And if there's no limit to it.
No, unlimited.
If you can loan yourself $10 million.
You can borrow money for your campaign. And then once you win, unlimited graft to pay yourself back. And that's Ted Cruz.
Wow. Ted Cruz never fails to disappoint, does he?
No, he does not. We're going to do a news roundup in news you might have missed. Tennessee passed a law designated to allow adoption agencies to turn away same-sex couples on the basis of, quote, written religious or moral convictions or policies. That was to let Catholic charities not have to allow gay people to adopt. Catholic charities didn't have to cooperate with gay couples. That was the purpose of the Tennessee law. And now a publicly funded adoption agency is declining to work with Jews.
Yeah. Well,
because that's the slope.
That's the law. I'm reminded of one of Spencer Tracy's speeches from Inherit the Wind. You know, ignorance and prejudice, or ignorance and bigotry, are hungry. Forever hungry and need feeding.
Right.
These hateful people will always find someone and something to feed on.
Right.
And the minute you let them in the door, the minute you say you can't teach evolution in school, The minute you say this shit, they're like, oh, really? Now there's a loophole that I can drive my bigotry through?
Right.
Excellent. And, you know, way to go, Tennessee.
Yep.
Joe Biden conceded that in order to get his Build Back Better agenda passed, Congress will have to break it up and get as much of it through as possible in pieces.
I'm going to be really interested in how much of that turns into executive orders by November, too. That's going to be interesting.
Well, and the whole reason was because you had to get it through reconciliation. And I would remind, I have heard this across the centrist never Trump spectrum, that if you just put together something, an amount that Joe Manchin would agree to, this whole thing would have been behind us. But Democrats insist on this crazy $1.7 trillion blah, blah, blah. And none of them, this is lying by omission. Yeah. None of them will say, of course, Democrats started out at $6 trillion and then cut to $3 trillion.
AOC started at $10 trillion.
Yeah. But the opening bid from like Bernie Sanders,
right?
$6 trillion. Cut it in half to three. Cut that in half because Joe Manchin said he couldn't do that, to a figure that Joe Manchin said, yeah, I can do that. We'll have to mess around a little bit. And then Manchin walked off the field. Mm-hmm. So that whole history of Joe Manchin saying, no, just keep compromising, keep cutting, keep slashing, and then, oh, nope, I'm not going to do it at all.
And remember when it was going to be two bills in tandem and we were only going to pass the one without another? I just, you know.
The people who kept cooperating and kept compromising and kept saying, okay, we'll accept it. We'll take a hit. Okay, we'll take less.
Black women.
Yes,
that's what they did.
And the people who
over did all, and over.
The people who did all the compromising are the ones that got screwed.
Right, right.
And so, yeah, you know.
So vote them all out. And let's really work hard to make Manchin, you know, just unimportant.
Yeah, irrelevant.
Absolutely. Mm-hmm. All right. The U.S. will make 400 million N95 masks available for free at pharmacies and community health centers starting next week. The move, which officials called the largest deployment of personal protective equipment in U.S. history, comes days after the CDC updated its mask guidance to recommend that people wear the most protective mask you can that fits well and you will wear consistently.
Yeah. New York Attorney General Letitia James accused Trump's businesses of repeatedly using, quote, fraudulent or misleading valuations of their assets to get loans and tax benefits.
And the one that really stuck with me was his own apartment was 33,000 square feet when it was 11,000 square feet.
Yeah. He just lies. Just lied all the time. And you know what? Had he not been elected, this never would have come to court.
Yeah. Yeah.
Never would have come to their attention because this is just standard issue New York real estate ripoff bullshit.
Yeah.
But now it's federal.
Well, it'll be interesting to see whether it's still not clear she's going to push criminal charges against him.
Yeah.
Because then she's accountable to do it for lots of other people.
Yeah.
As a criminal thing. But she can shut down the Trump organization like they did the charity. And she can just say you can't do business in New York.
And she can drop a line to the IRS saying, this guy owes you several $1 billion in taxes.
Right, right. Mm-hmm. And the state of New York is owed several multi-million dollars in taxes. Sure. The House committee investigating the January 6th attack on the Capitol subpoenaed Rudy Giuliani, Sidney Powell. Heard of him?
Yeah.
And two other members of Trump's legal team who pursued and disseminated bogus claims of mass election fraud, one of which was Boris Epstein.
Yeah.
I didn't know he was a lawyer. I think he's just a media consultant for the law firms.
But... I assume everyone's a lawyer until proven otherwise.
Yeah.
Top career officials at the Census Bureau warned of unprecedented meddling by Trump's political appointees in the 2020 census. Officials wanted to address a, quote, unusually high degree of engagement in technical matters and, quote, direct engagement by political appointees with Wilbur Ross, who was then the Secretary of Commerce Division, which oversees the Bureau. Yeah, they were screwing with the census to cheat Democratic voters.
Cheat blue states out of House seats. Yeah.
Every place they could cheat, they did. Up and down the line.
The Biden administration's website to order 4 free at-home rapid tests per household is now live at covidtests.gov. Charlie Sykes took time out during one of his podcasts this week to mention that the website was glitch-free, unlike the Obamacare website. Oh, come on.
He did.
Yeah.
Remember the Obamacare? Huh? Remember it? Remember when that crashed? Remember how Obamacare crashed?
He can remember the Obamacare website crashing, but he can't remember what happened to the Republican Party.
No. Well, because he's an old man. And And his happiest reminiscences are when he was pissing
Democrats failed at something. Yeah.
That's what makes him smile. The January 6th committee has asked Ivanka Trump to cooperate in the inquiry. I wish them the best of luck with that.
When you type that into our notes,
uh-huh.
I was glancing at our notes and scrolling through them, and I read that the January 6th committee has asked Ivanka Trump to commit perjury.
Well, you read between the lines.
Is, right? Yeah.
Please go ahead. Lie. Lie to us.
Speaking of which, Eric Trump pleaded the fifth over 500 times with New York prosecutors.
Yeah. What's your
After
name?
All those times his daddy said pleading the fifth meant you're guilty.
And what's your name, sir? Oh, Fifth Amendment. Where do you live? Fifth Amendment. Mm-hmm. Okay, Elwick, calm down. This is going to take a long time. An inquest into the abuse of children by Catholic priests has found that Pope Benedict the 16th knew about the abuse but failed to act when he was Archbishop of Munich from 1997 to 1982. The Catholic Church hid Cardinal Law of Boston from 2002 until he died in 2017.
Yeah. And I lived in Boston when he was Archbishop of Boston. And then, you know, move priests around to protect the church.
Mm-hmm.
And when it got caught up with him, oh, we're going to move him to the Vatican. Sorry, he's in the Vatican now.
Yeah, which is, you know.
Until he dies.
Lots of feelings about that, none of which mm-hmm. I plan to share in the immediate future. I will just mention that the GOP bragged about the infrastructure bill they voted against. You've already
and called
mentioned.
Socialism, yes.
And called
yes.
socialism. There's a local news story I thought was kind of cute.
Well, I want to know why you put this in the notes. So tell me, what's the 50 Cent tour on this?
In my news feed locally, mm-hmm. up popped the CBS news feed, two Illinois brothers and a cousin charged with taking part in the January 6, 2021 Capitol insurrection. Okay, all right.
All right.
So they're from all 50 states. And then it was how each local news outlet reported it.
Ah.
Which I thought was just kind of interesting. Like the CBS News says there's two Illinois brothers and a cousin.
Okay.
Boom. End of story. The Quad City Times, which is the newspaper from where Junior Dude went to college. It's
right.
Moline and Rock Island County. It comes out of Davenport, Iowa.
Right.
Their
it's
headline
all around
was
the Mississippi.
All yeah. around, yeah, the upper Mississippi or upper Illinois Mississippi. Their headline was Glen Carbon Man Faces Capital Riot Charge. A man from Glen Carbon and his brother and cousin have been. So it's like, okay, what? Why? Okay.
You, more specific, but they chose Glen Carbon as the city.
You're hundreds of miles away from this, so okay. And then they mentioned way down that their cousin, the other two guys, lived in Lockport, which is much closer to the Quad Cities than Glen Carbon. But Glen Carbon got the headline. And finally, from KMOV St. Louis, Glen Carbon Man is the latest St. Louis area resident charged in the Capitol riot. Which cracked me up because Glen Carbon is 14 miles away from St. Louis, but it's not in St. Louis. It's in Illinois. But every local news has to have that local angle.
Yeah.
So
of course they
even
do.
Though
yeah.
the Quad City paper is many hundreds of miles away from Glen Carbon and far enough away from Lockport to be hell of a drive, they have to make it seem local. They have to make it seem like this is happening right in your backyard to catch your interest.
Mm-hmm.
And it was just how – but the CBS in Chicago, like, Illinois people.
Yeah,
some
right.
Some Illinois
right.
guys. You know, we're Chicago. We don't give a shit whether you're from Glen Carbon or Lockport. If you ain't from Chicago, you ain't from nowhere.
Yeah.
Anyway, that just caught my attention. And you can edit out all of this if you choose to do
oh,
so.
Oh, that's fine. While we've been podcasting, Uline has started trending on Twitter.
Wow.
There's a story at the Daily Beast this morning outing Dick Uline mm-hmm. as a funder behind the big lie, Driftglass.
I'm shocked. You mean Illinois crackpot billionaire?
Illinois crackpot billionaire that you and I know about because we figured out and many others figured out mm-hmm. that he's the big funder behind the Illinois Policy Institute.
Oh, yeah.
The right-wing yeah. chop shop
yes.
that hires people to write op-eds pushing right-wing bullshit.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, he's a big, huge funder of the insurrection, you know.
Yeah, he's funding a whole bunch of Illinois candidates on yep. the Republican slate. I believe I'm not I might be wrong, but I believe he was also had spent a couple of dollars at the Heartland Institute. years ago. I might be wrong about that. But yeah, their movement, all of it, is propped up by people like that, by right-wing crackpot billionaires.
And apparently he has pretty much cornered the market on cardboard boxes. It's very hard to buy a cardboard box that isn't made by him. Mm-hmm. But people are going to try. There's a lot of effort now because of this outing, which he doesn't like.
No.
This outing to boycott his company. And I hope they're successful. Don't give him any more money, you know? And it worked with AT&T. Yeah. AT&T is getting rid of OAN because it's bad for business to be associated with these people. And that is a way we can win. Drift Glass. Each week we post to our Facebook page and website an internet kitty sent in by you, the listeners. This week's internet kitty is half and half. Half and half is a tortie who is so called because her mouth is half brown and half black, and she's just adorable. Half and half loves sleeping on top of the refrigerator where no one will bother her. By the way, she only drinks from people cups, Drift Glass.
Mm-hmm. So do I. So we have that in common.
We have, but one of our cats likes to do that too.
Yes.
Barack Hussein, the Kenyan usurper, likes to drink from a little coffee cup in the bathroom floor. He does.
He has a little half-lidded cheater glasses, reading the paper on the toilet and sipping a cup of coffee in the morning. Like, okay, dude.
If he was human, he would be doing that. Yeah.
And look up like, yes.
Yes, what? Of course, Half and Half loves freshly poured cat food, our fake sponsor. Whether you serve Pet Store Perfection or Dollar Store Direct, your cats will sit on the kitchen floor or on top of the refrigerator and demand that the food they eat is only freshly poured. Freshly poured, freshly poured. Oh, my Lord, it's freshly poured. You can visit Half and Half at our Facebook page or website. And you can send your internet kitty, dog, or other pet. We love barnyard animals, too. Anything you like at our email address, proleftpodcast@gmail.com, or you can write to both of us. Feel free to write us. We love hearing from you. Be aware that if you write us at any of our addresses, we reserve the right to read your email and U.S. Postal Service, Go Postal Unions, letter on the air, unless you say otherwise. Hashtag jail to joy. We do love getting your letters. And my dad is not doing real well right now. Mm-hmm. He's having some health concerns, and we are planning a trip to see him in June. And probably during and around that time, we're going to have a letter show. Which is wonderful. We love doing letter show. So anytime between now and the end of May, get your letters in, and we're going to store those and keep them aside and do a letter show sometime probably early to mid-June.
Ask us to predict things that are likely to happen in June so that we can sound like prophetic when we say, yeah, saw it coming.
Saw that coming.
Yep. So obvious.
Yeah. So, and keep my dad Ian in your thoughts too, if you are so inclined. Don't forget our gourmet coffee guideline. If you can afford to buy an espresso based beverage for yourself, buy one for us. This is not charity. This is our livelihood, Drift Glass. I learned that word this week, and that's a good one. Mm-hmm. This is how we earn our living. Absolutely. Approximately 1% of our listeners support this podcast with a contribution, and you can too. See our website, proleftpod.com, for details, our PayPal, postal address information, Patreon, all of it is there at proleftpod.com. Please share our show on social media, and if you love this podcast, please get someone else to listen to. And thank you so much for doing that.
You know, slip a copy of it to Josh Barrow or Matt Iglesias. Say, dude, really, I think you'd get a lot out of this. I think these guys are right in your wheelhouse.
I think we said fuck Josh Barrow in this particular episode, Drift Glass.
Not after our sound editor is done with it.
Yeah, she's going to leave that in.
Who knows what this podcast will sound like.
She's going to totally leave that in.
Oh, goddamn. There goes my job at Business Insider. Thanks, Blue Gal. Another.
Hey, Drift Glass. You know, I wouldn't be married to you if you worked for Business Insider, but that's beside the point. Mm-hmm. How are the internet kitties doing this week?
You know, Blue Gal, the internet kiddies will not quarter soldiers in their home, and that's why they are pleading the Third Amendment 500 times.
Let's think about living.
Think about living.
Just think about loving.
Think about loving.
Just think about the hooping and the hopping and the popping and the loving, loving, loving. Let's forget about the whining and the crying, the shooting and the dying, and the fellow with the switchblade knife. Let's think about living. Let's think about life.
Professional Left Podcast is recorded under a Creative Commons license, copyright 2022, DGBG Productions Incorporated.